This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. President Trump is threatening to levy new tariffs on some of America's closest trading partners. The European Union and Mexico will face 30% tariffs starting on August 1st, according to a new social media post from the president, up from 25%. That's if those partners are unable to strike a new trade deal with the U.S. by that deadline. Yesterday, the president and the first lady toured the part of Central Texas that was ravaged by flash flooding last week, and this weekend, memorials to those who lost their lives.
Overnight, a vigil held to remember the 129 victims from the deadly flash flooding that ripped through Texas hill country a week ago.
Lost a lot, but I know that I have hope. You know, if that's the one message that you walk away with, and that's hope.
ABC's Jacqueline Lee, at least 160 people are still missing. This is ABC News. More trouble in the skies as a Delta flight bound for New York was forced to make an unexpected landing.
There was crying. You could hear people praying.
Delta Flight 127, leaving Madrid, Spain earlier this week, headed to New York's JFK Airport. Nearly 300 passengers and crew on board. But a third of the way into the flight, some passengers saying they heard a loud boom.
Everyone sort of looked at each other like, did you hear that? What happened?
The aircraft forced to divert, landing safely at the Lajes Airport in the Azores, a chain of small islands in the middle of the ocean. Passengers disembarking, remaining on the island for nearly 30 hours before a new plane arrived to take them to their destination.
ABC's Matt Rivers. And a big shakeup in the artificial intelligence race. Google says it's hiring a number of employees from Windsurf, an AI coding company. OpenAI, the company that makes ChatGPT, had been in talks to buy Windsurf. I'm Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brewer bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes
right.
In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. Wisconsin's agriculture industry could see both wins and losses under the new federal budget. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
Climate change isn't a priority for the Trump administration, so the new budget redirects funds for farm conservation initiatives. Chuck Anderis with the Michael Fields Agriculture Institute says it lacks investments in key areas like technical assistance to help farmers implement conservation measures. Anderis predicts the gutted support and incentives that will go to large farms that need it the least will weaken conservation efforts and could have long-term implications.
And so you're having more runoff and more nitrates in the drinking water, but then you're also having birth defects in babies from the nitrates in the drinking water, and you're having huge medical costs beyond the devastating effects to human health from that.
Meanwhile, Wisconsin's new state budget does include some funding for programs that incentivize farmers to use conservation practices and reduce nitrogen pollution. And Dara says this kind of investment will help prevent flood damage, improve water quality, and make agriculture systems more resilient, all of which affect public health. As part of their agenda to curb government fraud and waste, the Trump administration has slashed staffing at agencies like the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service. The new budget proposes cutting nearly one-third of additional staff, and Dara says that agency provides critical technical assistance to farmers, and the lack of support will create barriers for farmers who rely on its guidance. He adds the new federal budget also redirects Biden-era conservation funds that hadn't yet been used away from practices that would reduce greenhouse gas emissions on farms. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. This afternoon, we'll see mostly sunny skies and a high near 82. Mostly clear tonight, lows around 61. Sunshine with a high near 83 on Sunday. A touch warmer Monday, sunshine with a high near 88. Chance of a storm Tuesday and 88.
Right now, it's 74.
Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild is in the guest host seat with me on Monday. We keep you up to date. Who's out and who's in? Is it Bongino and Patel or Bondi at the DOJ?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside the cave-dwelling, mountain-climbing, rock-scaling, swimming, hunting, hiking, fishing, Danielle Fairman.
It sounds like my vacation coming up.
You're doing all that stuff on your vacation?
All that fly fishing for my first time. I'm so excited.
Wow. You've never fly fished.
I have never fly fished. I have never gone horseback riding through the mountains. I have never gone clear bottom kayaking before, ghost town touring.
Holy cow. Are you going with your boyfriend, Josh?
He is not joining. This is one of my good friends is getting married in Glacier. And I'm one of the bridesmaids.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Yeah, I'm beyond thrilled. I cannot wait.
Oh my gosh, Danielle, I can see it about you. Got a new job. You got a tan.
You got your hair done.
You got your hair and nails done. You are tan, rested, and ready. I'm just going to overlook the fact that you're wearing Crocs.
Oh, I love these babies.
Oh, horrible.
I have two
absolutely
sets.
Absolutely horrible.
I have my rugged ones and my fancy ones.
I'm wearing mine next week when Danielle's gone.
Well, George won't be here, so you can wear yours next week.
George
Folks,
is here.
I actually love Crocs.
I don't understand what's
you
happening.
You probably do, George. Yeah. You probably
I wear Crocs
George Ermert
every day.
George has Sperry's on, and they look really nice.
George does.
They have what?
George's Sperry's
Sperry's?
Look very nice.
Sperry's. Yes.
Sperry's.
Sperry's.
I have no idea.
Sperry.
They look nice
it's
on
a brand.
You.
It's a brand of Doc nice. Top Sider or Doc Sider shoe. Yeah. They're nice. They're very nice.
I wear Crocs.
I agree.
I have no idea.
They're very nice. George Ermert's here. He's the he's on the board of the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association and a frequent flyer to Raised in Wisco.
We
always
love
happy to have
you on.
Excited to be here.
Now,
yes.
George Jorge Ermert.
Jorge
Ermert. That's actually how you pronounce it, right?
Si.
So happy to have you along, George. And of course, the culinarian who at the end of the day makes all of us happy with her feasts.
And Ellie herself.
And herself.
Her.
Yes,
just her being
general.
Her.
Yes,
food is a cherry on top.
Joel wants to leave that part out right now.
Ellie Law.
I'm good with it. I'm still going to sleep great tonight.
Chefferie.
There was a little, just so to let cue everybody on what's going on, is that we all were bickering before this show. So
we were all bickering. You guys were all
jabs throughout this show.
Watching, teaming up on me.
If you're watching on Facebook, you will notice that Ellie Lawton, the chefferie, the official chef of Raised in Wisco, is dressed substantially nicer than the rest
she
of
is.
Us.
Okay, well, I can't help it. You guys didn't dress better.
Well,
I look nice.
I mean, George look. He and I match.
George,
this is true.
Okay.
You guys do.
Well, if I'm going to come to Raisin Wisco, I'm going to bring my A game.
I can see that. The hair, yep. Not a hair out of place, George. George, if I didn't know better, every once in a while, I might think that's a toupe. That's such perfectly placed hair you have.
It's legit.
Are you
it's real deal.
No hair.
Yeah, well, it's,
am I jealous of his hair?
Yeah, you guys both have good hair.
But am I jealous of his hair? Absolutely. Look at that.
It does.
I mean,
look really
for
nice.
A man of 47 years old, that is some pretty fantastic hair.
Joel, if I was 47, I would take that as a compliment. But I'm not even 47 yet.
you don't know your best friend's age?
How old are you, George?
I recently turned.
You just had your birthday.
Like 2 weeks ago, right?
Like 2 weeks ago. 40, yeah. 46 years old.
Wow.
Holy cow. You don't look a day older than 45 and a half, George.
And some would even say I act about 12.
Yeah, well, that's my standard go-to as far as acting my age.
You both have that in common.
We definitely
have that in common.
I think best friends should have that in common.
Yeah, I think so.
Let me tell you about my best friend.
Okay.
No? All right, good talk.
We're going to leave the music to the bumpers, Dana.
I mean, all right.
Okay, we're in the middle of summer right now. This is what I call the doldrums of Wisconsin summer because it's the furthest you'll get away from hunting seasons. Your spring turkey's over, and you don't get to hunt until September 1st for the waterfowl. And so we're right smack dab in between the middle of the hunting seasons, which is tough for me. It really is. I'm not going to lie. I have a rough time getting myself together. And so what, George, I know you love to fish, and I think that is something that I should do more of. In fact, I'm considering even heading out to the East Coast to do a little fishing trip. End of July, beginning of August. So I'm excited about that. Well, I'm going to put something together. I'm going to do it. I've never been to the East Coast proper. I've been out to D.C. and Virginia, but I'm going to head out to the East Coast and maybe do some fishing out there.
Oh, that sounds very exciting.
And that sounds brings great. Me to my weekly Wisco, which is I went fishing this last weekend, and I had a great time. Caught some real nice bass, and that's
sweet.
Always funny.
Wow.
And if you are familiar with the old Saturday Night Live skit, the Bass-O-Matic 2000, I do not have one of those, so it was all catch and release.
You do not?
I don't have a Bass-O-Matic 2000, no. That skit was made famous by Dan Aykroyd a million years ago. But that's my weekly Wisco, is I went fishing, and I had a great time, and I'm planning to do more of it. So
good.
To get me through to the waterfowl season. Danielle, what did you do? What's your weekly Wisco?
Well, you know, Joel, how you always say during the springtime or even fall time, scouting is your everyday situation that you do. Well, fishing is mine, except for this past weekend, because it was the 4th of July weekend, which I hope everybody had a wonderful, safe 4th of July, but the lakes were so crowded. So I found a nice little pond that I use my Onyx Fish app that I've been talking about the past couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So that was nice, but my favorite part, not only was the 4th of July, but I made the best dessert.
What is it?
Wait, save it till the cooking segment.
Well, I have another addition.
Well, you do?
Well, okay. This was a 2 week ago thing that you did.
Oh, okay.
You inspired me.
Okay.
Well, let's hear it then.
Well, now I want to hear it.
How you were talking about the peaches, you put the butter and the brown sugar, but instead of using the vanilla bean, I added a Danielle twist. And
what
as Joel
twist?
Says that I like alcohol.
Oh, boy.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Let's slow down. I'm not the only one who says like alcohol.
Well, everyone says that I like alcohol
it is
in
Wisconsin.
I added a cup of bourbon.
Yeah,
some
wonderful.
Buffalo Trace bourbon.
Oh,
and
I love
simmer.
Buffalo Trace. Yes. It's
oh, a good my
one.
Goodness. And that was the most delicious thing.
Wow.
And then with the leftovers, because we ate all the ice cream and all the peaches.
So did you do it on a griddle?
I did it in the Blackstone.
Yeah.
Oh, not the Blackstone. A cast iron on the grill.
Perfect.
Because it was raining.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
But it was delicious. And then we used a couple extra peaches for milkshakes.
Danielle,
peach
you
milkshake.
Keep turning culinary corners.
I do.
It's so wonderful.
Say that five times real fast. I like that, turning culinary corners.
Yeah, so instead of the wonderful peach recipe that you did, I did some vanilla ice cream too.
Yes. Yeah.
Added some bourbon.
Oh, that's
and I made it
delish.
So delicious.
Yes, and that sounds like a fantastic thing to do. Plus, you know, even if you are a non-drinker like me, you don't have to be afraid of that recipe because whenever you cook something, it burns off the alcohol and it still has the flavor of the bourbon.
Delicious.
It.
So,
yeah,
it sounds great. Jorge, what was your weekly Wisco?
Jorge.
George Ermert.
So I think we can all agree that Wisconsin probably is the best outdoor state in the country.
Agreed.
Yes. Agreed.
Of course.
And so for the 4th of July, I actually went south of the Wisconsin border, and I was in Illinois for a couple days.
Ooh.
We're sorry to hear that.
Wait. And I was doing a little recon. And what my trip did, you know, reinforce to me was that one of the reasons Wisconsin is so great is just because Illinois makes everything harder. We tried to go to Lake Michigan to a public beach on the 4th of July, pull up, and they wouldn't let us park there.
Oh.
Because we weren't residents.
Because you were from Wisconsin.
And we could still go there, but we're going to have to drive. We're going to have to drive to the train station, park at the train station, and then walk probably 15, 20 minutes to go to the beach.
Oh, now, was this like a Yellowstone kind of train station in Illinois?
I don't think it was
a legit train station.
Legit train station. But so we ended up not going. We're like, they're just making things too hard.
And you know the irony of that statement, right? If you go to a Wisconsin beach, more than half the cars parked there are going to have Illinois license plates.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
100%. Yes. But that's just, hey, Wisconsin is better.
Wisconsin is better. One thing out, though. If you take a look at the regulations governing hunting and fishing for Wisconsin, it's huge, real thick, tons of regulations. Illinois' book is very, very, very small. They have substantially fewer regulations to hunt and fish in Illinois, which to me is amazing. Really. And I think if there's one thing and one thing only, and believe me, there's not much more than one thing that we should try to consider that Illinois does, it's to reduce our regulations for hunting and fishing in Wisconsin. But
maybe they don't have many because all their people are up here.
Ah, that's true.
They don't need many.
All the big deer, all the waterfowl, all the turkeys are
they
here.
They have
anyway.
Fewer opportunities there. Yes. Their seasons are shorter.
Yeah.
They do have one heck of a migration pattern for Canada geese, though. I've done some pretty successful hunting in Illinois. Well, that's it. So your weekly Wisco is essentially coming back to Wisconsin.
Yeah, yes. Yes.
Welcome back.
It's good to have you, George.
Yes. Well,
it's very good. Ellie Lawton, the chef of the show, what was your weekly Wisco?
Well, it was super hot, so I got up really early, packed the horse trailer, trailered up to one of our beautiful parks and rode horses.
Ooh.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah, gosh, it was wonderful.
That sounds like a weekly Wisco that would top the charts, to be honest. Mm. A horse ride through were you in the Kettle Moraine? Or?
I did the Eagle Trails. I forget what road it's on. I know how to get there, but I just don't know the roads.
Oh.
So, sorry, I can't be very helpful there.
Now that's plenty
out
helpful.
Past Paradise Springs. If you know where Paradise Springs is, it's out past, right past there. So rode on those trails. I noticed those trails have not been mowed in a long time. So the grass was very, very long and it was like riding in a wild wilderness, which was beautiful.
Oh,
that sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, the bottom line here is there's even in the middle of summer, if you're listening to this show because you are a hunter, there's plenty to do in Wisconsin in the summer. And I want to talk about one thing that's really interesting to me. Nobody thinks of scouting for wild game in the summertime.
No.
Nobody thinks of it. But I will tell you, you're already seeing, as soon as those turkeys get out of their strut in the spring, as soon as they're done strutting, they're already back into their groups, males together, hens together with the poults. And this is a real great time to start patterning turkeys. And I can't believe how many turkeys I'm seeing. Now, you really struggle to see them because this knee-high by the 4th of July corn is over my head already in some places.
Oh, yes.
But I have seen turkeys upon turkeys just in driving the country roads. When I go on a country drive, I've been seeing some turkeys all over the place and deer out during the day.
Oh, yeah, a lot of deer moving during the day.
A lot of fawn.
I've noticed.
Tons of spots everywhere.
And you can start... Right, and you're gonna see the bucks kind of intermingled with the does this time.
I saw that today.
Yeah, which is also interesting to me because they're so not in breeding mode that they're kind of even hanging out together and they're substantially less territorial. What I find though is watch the does because where the does are in the summer is where you're gonna still find them in the fall and. You won't find the bucks in those areas particularly, but then the rut comes, and then that's where you find
then
the bucks
will be
as
there.
Well.
So what I've noticed is I feel like the fawns were born later this year, and I feel as though the turkeys hatch later, and the geese did as well. Do you guys agree?
I agree with that.
Yep.
I don't know why. I'm seeing a lot of small poults. Now, I know that they will have hens will have a second brood if those eggs are eaten or their mm-hmm. poults are eaten. Mm-hmm. But I've seen a lot of tiny poults, which is going to make for an interesting turkey hunting season yeah. this fall. I am really excited because we're going to do dishes for summertime barbecues. We're all going to give ours. And chefery Ellie Lawton's going to take us through her awesome recipe for the week. This is Raised in Wisco.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
This is the story of the one. As a safety manager at a manufacturing plant, he does everything he can to keep his coworkers safe. From finding ways to reduce risks, to keeping safety supplies in stock. And for that, he relies on Grainger. Grainger offers a broad range of quality products and next-day delivery, so he can always play it safe. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped four seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Is your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin, from hunting to fishing to hiking to camping. My name is Joel Clayfish. I'm a lifelong resident of the state, new to hunting. At age 38, I started. Fisherman my whole life, but there is definitely something I've done my entire life, and that is eat. I have been an eater.
You don't say.
It's that obvious.
Oh, ouch. Dang. Wow.
No, I mean, like, we all eat. Otherwise, we'd be dead.
Do you want to get that knife out of your back? Or?
That is not what I said.
She just called you,
I didn't.
Chonky.
Listen, that is... George, chime in here, please. That is not what I said. I said you don't say, because we'd all be dead if we didn't eat.
Oh, everybody's laughing.
You guys are just killing me tonight.
Because we love you.
Is it because I didn't bring food?
We're not saying.
Are you attacking me because I'm not feeding you tonight?
We're all hangry.
Hey, we didn't show up in our Sunday best and start ripping on people.
Oh, I really hope everybody's watching.
This is not my
right
Sunday
now.
Best.
Okay.
Gosh, it's like you guys don't even know me.
Gosh.
Gosh.
I caught you a delicious bass. Gosh. I've raced
what?
In Wisco.
We're just going past
it's
that.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Hey, Joel, I'm sorry that you think that I called you chunky. Oh, I did no. not, though. Well,
maybe we should talk about it for this segment. It's okay. It's not something I struggle with.
Oh, you say sorry right now.
Jeez. I said I'm sorry. I'm honestly not, though, you guys. I'm not going to lie. I'm not sorry because I didn't mean it like that.
Chef Lawton makes some of the best food that yes. we've eaten. And we have thanks. The fortune of eating on this show quite a bit. And I'm kind of excited because for tonight's show, we're going to be talking about each one of our favorite things to bring to a barbecue. It's middle of summer. There's no better thing to talk about than the summer barbecue. We just had the 4th of July weekend, which is fantastic. And if you listen to this show and you listen to some of the recipes we talk about, many of them are very simple but exquisitely delicious. Mm-hmm. I mean, unbelievably delicious. But it's a way to really up your game for the barbecue. So we're going to do parts of these in each of the segments because I just think it's something that's super exciting. Folks, get out a pen and paper. Does anybody do that anymore? No.
I do.
Okay, I do too. Open the notes section of your iPhone because you got to write down what we're going to talk about tonight because we're going to have some great things to bring to a barbecue. And we're going to talk about wild game versions of those. And one of the beauties that we also make sure you know is that any wild game protein we ever talk about can be substituted for something purchased in the store.
Certainly.
So you can hit the Piggly Wiggly, the Pick and Save, the New Market, and you can buy whatever you like as your protein and fit it into these recipes. So don't be shy. Don't be afraid. Hit us up on Facebook. First of all, watch us on Facebook live. If you miss it, Danielle, where can you see the show?
You can see the show on YouTube. But when you're on Facebook, please give us a like and leave a comment or message us. You can also listen on Spotify and Apple Music.
Yeah, Eric Tuckner, I know you're listening. You said you listened to the show. Anybody else out there who's listening and who hasn't liked the Facebook yet, get on there. I want to shout out to Megan Salazar. She is now the She is now the official Salazar of Facebook. So
she's the salad bar raised in Wisco.
She's the salad bar czar of Facebook for us. So reach out.
Megan.
We're going to be updating that quite a bit. And we want to hear from you. So if you've got questions, we had some questions come in this past week about apparel, which I thought was pretty cool. And
why do you say this? Jorge?
I want to see the merch drop.
Yeah, well,
when
you know
is
what?
The merch
it's going to drop
it's
and gonna, we're all going to wear
of fact,
it.
Yep. I'm going to let you in on a little secret for listeners out there. We have prototypes at the designer as we speak.
So shut up.
It's true.
We do.
So
really?
We're hoping to get some raised in Wisco merch. Easy for me to say.
And so you're just going to leave it there. Like that's just the tease. Like
that's
nothing
the
else.
Tease.
Yeah.
That is the tease. But let's talk for just a minute about Danielle. What is your go-to when you go to a barbecue? What's your go-to when you go to a barbecue? What are you bringing and how do you make it?
What I love bringing to a barbecue is kebabs. I'm a kebab fan.
Love kebabs.
Yes.
Fantastic,
and you can put them
easy,
over
delicious.
Anything, mix a variety of any vegetables that you love, any protein that you love. But my sucker is pineapple. I love adding pineapple to pretty much anything.
I was going to say, put peaches on your next kebabs because it's so good.
Ooh. I absolutely will now.
Yes.
That is something I definitely don't think I would have thought of putting on a kebab.
Kebab.
I'm sick. I'm sorry. Kebab. Sometimes it comes out kebab. That's what they call them. That is what they call that. If you are at a truly Mediterranean place, they call them kebabs. And so it's
but if you're in Wisconsin, we just say kebab.
It's a kebab.
I'll take kebab.
Clearly, I have no problem eating kebabs or kebabs.
But yes, if I'm going to a barbecue, so anybody invite me, but I'm bringing pineapple. Turkey most likely to go with the pineapple.
Ooh,
some jasmine rice. Yeah, some wild turkey, absolutely.
Oh, that sounds
the
fantastic.
Beverage or the protein?
Both.
Got it.
Oh, wild turkey, the beverage and the protein from Danielle, that's for sure. Something that I hear folks talk about that I want to touch on in this next segment is getting into hunting and what are some of the options in Wisconsin, including hunting farms or whitetail farms or game preserves. I want to touch on that and see what the folks' thoughts are. This is Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. President Trump is threatening to levy new tariffs on some of America's closest trading partners. The European Union and Mexico will face 30% tariffs starting on August 1st, according to a new social media post from the president, up from 25%. That's if those partners are unable to strike a new trade deal with the U.S. by that deadline. Yesterday, the president and the first lady toured the part of Central Texas that was ravaged by flash flooding last week, and this weekend, memorials to those who lost their lives.
Overnight, a vigil held to remember the 129 victims from the deadly flash flooding that ripped through Texas hill country a week ago.
Lost a lot, but I know that I have hope. You know, if that's the one message that you walk away with, and that's hope.
ABC's Jacqueline Lee, at least 160 people are still missing. This is ABC News.
The Miz is headed to the All-Star Game. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brewers rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski has been selected to pitch in the All-Star Game Tuesday night at 23 and just 5 starts. The Miz setting an All-Star record for earliest career appearance. I asked him, how did his teammates react?
They were all thrilled about it and they're happy for me. But yeah, no, it's been the world for the guys to be around me and support me how they have. It's been awesome.
Brewers pitcher DL Hall.
Incredible. I mean, I think we all know, you know, he's worthy of it. The kid's stuff is unbelievable. It's fun to watch, and like Murph said, it's super exciting, and it's good for baseball, so we're also super happy for him.
The Brewers went on to beat the Nationals 8-3. The two teams play again today. Brandon Woodruff gets the start. NBA, the Bucks introduced center Miles Turner to the media. The Bucks facing the Cavaliers today in summer league action in Las Vegas. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Mariska Hargitay has experienced an almost unprecedented run as an actor on the show Law & Order Special Victims Unit. And now she has a director's credit as well. She is the creative force behind a documentary about her late mother, Jane Mansfield, called My Mom Jane. The Hollywood Reporter is now saying the documentary will be eligible for the Oscars since it's been revealed that it had a short theatrical run at a North Hollywood movie theater last week. My Mom Jane is available to stream on HBO and is getting very good reviews. Sarah Jessica Parker feels she had to defend herself for not endorsing a political candidate publicly. The And Just Like That and Sex and the City star told Nicole Wallace on her podcast she didn't believe social media was the place for quick political conversations. To her credit, Parker says she's not going to go into an argument unless she is totally educated on an issue. Imagine that. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. This afternoon, we'll see mostly sunny skies and a high near 82. Mostly clear tonight, lows around 61. Sunshine with a high near 83 on Sunday. A touch warmer Monday, sunshine with a high near 88. Chance of a storm Tuesday and 88.
Currently, 75 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Beautiful Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we go beyond the cheese with the Canine Convoy based in Oconto. We're talking Dog Bus. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Your place to have a good laugh, that I can promise you. You're going to learn how to cook some fantastic food, foraging the great state of Wisconsin, how to take it from the outdoors and put it on your dinner table. And we are very fortunate because we have a certified French chef, a culinarian, if you will, Ellie Lawton, who joins us on the show every week. She's had fantastic meals for us here before the show, which I know I can say go extremely appreciated. And
except
after
for
all,
tonight, and now I'm paying for it.
Oh, everything's fine. Everything's fine. And one of the things that I'm excited to talk about today is the love for the barbecue. That is a real Wisconsin thing.
Yeah.
We drag the barbecue carts to our tailgates. Wisconsin is the most tailgating state in the country. So all of our sports events have food. We are a food-centric state. We have all the cultures here from around the world and have really fantastic food to make. And so as part of Raised in Wisco's duty, I think it is, to share with the listeners what foods we like and easy ways to do it. And we're fortunate to have an expert with us that we can glean information from and try it. And I know Danielle, who is the sidekick with the mostest over here, he's been trying a lot of the recipes that we talk about on the show.
Yes.
And they've turned out fantastic for you, I've heard. And I'm excited. I'm gonna see what George's recipe. What's your go-to, George, to head to a Wisconsin barbecue?
I always like to bring burgers that I make myself.
Ooh. You bring burgers. Now that's bold.
Yeah.
That's bold. Because
taking charge.
Because burgers, that is the, you know, that's a mainstay. That's a main course.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And if you mess that up, there's going to be some disappointment probably. Is there a lot of pressure when you bring burgers?
There can be, for sure.
Is it a secret recipe?
No, it's not a secret.
Well, share.
Do share.
Yeah, it's not a secret. But I like to make my own burgers, and I will either use ground beef or ground venison, mm-hmm. sometimes a mixture of both.
Yeah,
depending.
Mixing them is great.
I cut up some onion, cut up some garlic. I used Worcestershire sauce, an egg or two, some breadcrumbs. It's almost like a little
meatloaf. It's like a meatloaf.
Yes, it's like a little meatloaf.
Wow.
Exactly.
And you're my little meatloaf.
Yeah, it's like a
you now have a new name.
Yeah,
a little meatloaf.
Little meatloaf.
Yeah. So cute.
But my good friend from high school and college actually gave me this recipe. He used to make it when we have cookouts at his house, and I was like, "You got to share these burgers with me." So I've been making them ever since.
Wow!
And everybody loves them, so I always make those.
Nice. Wow, they're delicious.
That sounds fantastic. We're going to save Chef Lawton's for a little bit later, but I'm going to talk about mine real quick because mine could be technically a main course. I guess you could call it a main course possibly, but it's also a sideline course. I love to make a gyro tower.
Oh, like, yeah.
A gyro tower. on the grill.
Danielle and I have had your gyro tower.
Have you ever had gyros?
Yes. What's a gyro tower?
Well, I kind of made it up, but, you know, Danielle and Ellie and Jess have been to Florida gator hunting. And when we get the alligator, it comes in strips. And I thought to myself, how could I turn this into a gyro? So I went and took a hanger out of my closet, and I fashioned the hanger into a spit. And I will soak the meat. And again, you can, I don't know why you guys are laughing about this so much.
What?
Doesn't matter.
So any strip of meat you can use, I use alligator, you can use venison, you can use strip steak, you can use any type of meat, lamb, pork, you could use pork flank and cut it thinly, soak it overnight in olive oil, oregano, and garlic. And then you want to add salt to it because you need some of that salt in the brine. And you let that soak overnight in that olive oil. And then you take those strips and you layer it on that hanger you formed with a rod going up the middle.
And how long are these
until
strips?
It tops 7-8 inches long. And you layer them on top of each other until it creates a cone. And then you put that cone on your smoker at 350 until it hits 160 in the middle. And then shave it off into pitas and throw a little tzatziki sauce, which is just basically sour cream. And I use sour cream and Greek yogurt. Some, you know, you grate a little bit of cucumber in there and some more garlic. You can't go wrong with garlic. And throw that on a pita that you've heated up on the grill. And that really is, that's what I bring when I go
Sounds
to
delicious.
A barbecue and we've, I have something to bring to a barbecue.
We've had your gyro tower and you were a hero making the gyro tower.
A gyro hero.
Yeah.
Look at that.
You certainly were.
No, I do like that very much. We're going to save Chef Lawton's for coming up here. But I want to talk about one subject that's intriguing to me. Something that's interesting to me is that the only way you can really hunt anywhere in the summer is if you do it on a game preserve. Mm-hmm. Game preserves throughout the country, and we've got them in Wisconsin and they're in surrounding states. Throughout the country, when you hunt at a game preserve, you can do it during the summertime because they don't have to follow the same seasons. And game preserves allow people a very kind of safe or controlled environment.
Okay,
so,
question right off the bat.
Yeah.
Why do they not have to follow the same... Well, I know they don't have to follow our deer seasons and everything, but aren't there like a breeding season for them or
few
months where they can hunt?
But and it's up to them. But if you ever see, for example, you see on the wall a deer that's in velvet, which is a really neat harvest,
yes.
And you're still able to get the meat. That is one of the cool things. Texas, for example, has got a ton of game farms that you are able to hunt everything from sheep to hogs to deer. And you can hunt during the summer. So if you're having an inkling or a desire to have wild game in the summertime, you can seek out those type of places. And I just think they really fill a niche for the new hunter. And in Wisconsin, there are pheasant ranches. There are deer ranches that you can hunt, you know, throughout the year. Of course, it's up to them. They don't run dogs in the summertime because it's too hot for the dogs to run after pheasants. So they'll do that based on, you know, weather specificities. But I really think, and to be fair, I work with the Whitetails of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Game Preserve Association. We don't talk a bunch on the show about that, but these are really some great opportunities to learn about the outdoors and to try it your first time. In a really controlled environment. So
I have something to add.
Yeah.
So I have participated in high fence hunting.
Sure.
When it was warmer out. And what I found was it was cheaper for me to harvest that animal and take it, haul it back home than it was to go to the store or purchase that meat anywhere else. So I ended up with a freezer full of meat for maybe half the cost it would have costed if I went to a butcher to get it done.
I couldn't
And
agree
I got
with
to harvest the animal that was living a fantastic life out in huge fields in the woods and harvest that animal ethically and take the meat home.
And that's just something fantastic to do it. I know I can say for certain when I go to visit my girls in college in Baylor at Baylor University, there are places that will let you come and hunt a hog of any size. You know, they've got wild hogs out there, but then they've got high fence hog hunting too. You can hunt and harvest a hog for around $300. Very often you'll end up with 250 pounds of meat from
delicious
that hog.
Meat
of
too.
Delicious meat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You are never going to go and buy pork at the grocery store for $1.50 a pound. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen.
Well, and I think that's what's interesting too, because a lot of people, when they think of high fence hunting, they think dollar signs right away.
Right.
And how expensive it is, right? To do anything like that. When you put it in perspective, just like you said, Ellie, hey, for me to fill my freezer, this was cheaper than
Absolutely.
For me to buy it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you get the experience too. And it's great for newer hunters as well to go out and be in a safe, secure area, maybe with a guide. Some of it is not guided or self-guided. So what a great experience for new hunters or for families to get out there and experience the outdoors. Do something fun while you're putting food in your freezer. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
It really doesn't.
My first deer harvest was in a high fence. I wanted to do that. So one of my things I was terrified about for being a first-time hunter, deer hunter to be specific, with a bow, is injuring the animal.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it just goes off into oblivion, and I'm never going to see it again.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that terrified me. And granted, yes, high fence is still a large area, but I was able to go with a couple guides that a coworker knew, and they took me out there, and it was nice, easy setting, and you know, they just knew exactly where they were going to be. This specific area, they had a specific area for new hunters. They called it the little corner for us, and it was perfect to try it out, and it calmed all my fears.
Yeah, and then you got to go out and hunt outside of high fencing and be more comfortable with your bow and have a better, more ethical harvest.
Exactly.
I think very often, I think that's a great point, Danielle, and a great story, because very often those people who are maybe afraid to try hunting, you know, on public land for the first time or out by themselves for the first time. And let's be clear, these hunting ranches, many of them are 500 acres, 1,000 acres, 300 acres.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is not like you're sitting in somebody's backyard hunting.
Right.
It is not like that at all. They have entire ecospheres that you're hunting in, and these animals are aware that they are prey. But, you know, to be perfectly fair, I mean, I love farming in Wisconsin, and the farmers supply the food for us. Mm-hmm. When you go to buy that package of beef or pork and it's wrapped in cellophane at the grocery store, remember that was an animal that was born to be raised, to be slaughtered, to go into the grocery store. When you are at a hunting ranch or a hunting farm, those are animals that are essentially living free their whole life. And then one day you harvest them and do the work to put it on your dinner table. And I will say there is something life-changing about taking a shot on an animal and knowing that you are responsible personally for taking the life of that animal. There is a magnitude of appreciation you have when you put that on the dinner table, when you go through the work to have it butchered, to butcher it yourself, to have it butchered, and you get those steaks and you put them on the dinner table, you understand the cycle of life and the cycle of what that animal has given to nourish you. And I think that it adds to an appreciation for the outdoors. And very many people become hunters in the wild, in the quote wild after that, and they become part of the conservation movement. Hunters in Wisconsin are the largest contributors to conservation and proliferation of species in Wisconsin. So I think that all of these things are good. Now, you know, we're not saying you have to have that be your first hunting experience, but we need the more people who set down the 3-inch by 7-inch cell phone and get out there and do something. And if it includes putting food on the table, I really don't think that there's a much better way to learn about the cycle and circle of life. We live in such a modern high-tech world, and this takes us really back to our human roots. Mm-hmm. And that is hunting and gathering and supplying food for us and for our families. So I just think it's just it's something you ought to try to consider. Try to consider the states that do allow hunting during the summer, because I will tell you what, the meat tastes the same in the summer. I can't wait for Chef Lawton's barbecue recipe. You're listening to Raised in Wisco.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 5 years after the fake elector scheme to overturn the 2020 election, legal accountability is grinding along for some of the conspirators and those who wittingly or unwittingly supported them. But pardons may be in the wind, too. May 27th, a three-judge New York appellate court stripped Trump campaign attorney Kenneth Chesbrough, an alleged key organizer of the swing state fake elector scheme, of his license to practice law in New York. June 16th, the alleged mastermind of the fake elector scheme, John Eastman, was recommended for disbarment in California. He can still appeal the decision. Also June 16th, a civil jury found MyPillow CEO and election denier Mike Lindell liable for $2.3 million for defaming former Dominion Voting Systems executive Eric Coomer. Dominion itself has a claim pending against Lindell, right-leaning news outlets, and several other Trump-alleged conspirators and collaborators. The Michigan Advance reported July 5th that a hearing on whether the trial of 15 of 16 Michigan fake electors should go forward has been moved to September 9th. A trial in Arizona is scheduled for January 5th, 2026, for the alleged fake electors and Trump associates, including his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Mother Jones reported June 4th that President Donald Trump's pardon attorney was considering pardons for the accused fake electors. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people who voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
This is Raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish. Spent my entire life in Wisconsin, except for a couple little stints outstate for college and one little job in TV. But I'm back, and I couldn't be happier because Wisconsin really is the center of everything for the outdoors. If you want to do it, you can do it in Wisconsin. Danielle Fairman and I have been hitting the outdoors together for the better part of two decades. She and I have been co-hostesses.
With the mostesses?
I think that I just driven to say hostess because they have the hostess cupcakes and Twinkies.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, I love those.
Why are those so good? really. I think they're made out of actual sponge, but there's
probably
sugar sponges.
Yeah, that's sugar sponges.
That's my recipe for tonight. Super easy, folks.
That wouldn't surprise me. George Rumert is a frequent contributor to the show, and he's part of the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association's board. We're working on right now a sandhill crane hunting season in the state, which is fascinating, and all that is great stuff to talk about. However, I want to get to the food, and that's why we have Chef Lawton
with us today. You don't say.
Can you believe it?
I want to talk about food.
Can you believe it? We've been talking.
This is where I go quiet during the show.
Hey Danielle, you've clearly been a good listener during the cooking segments of the show because
thank you to Megan on Facebook. She posts.
Yes.
Only thing that's on Facebook is food recipes.
Yeah, she's not going to like us this week.
Get on there.
She's going to have a lot to post.
She's going to have a lot to post. We've been talking about our favorite things to bring to barbecues, and summertime's no better time to talk about barbecuing in Wisconsin. Although, don't be afraid to barbecue in the winter. I'm just going to throw it out there.
Please, barbecue all year long.
All year long. So, Chef Lawton, what have you got for us today?
Well, this was a really tricky one for me because I thought we were all going to do one dish, and then my brain started working, and I'm like, well, when I go to a barbecue, I usually roll up with
bring everything.
The meat, the side dish, an appetizer, and a dessert.
In fact, we've done some things, the groups of us here in the outdoors. I have never seen you show up anywhere without food.
Yeah.
My little Italian mom would be excited about that because she says the only thing that kills a party is when the food runs out.
I couldn't agree more. Oh, my gosh. So I put the shackles on tonight, and I gave myself two of my favorite quick kind of go-to dishes that I will take along to a picnic if I'm told, hey, Ellie, you don't have to bring everything from your kitchen. Or if I'm told, hey, we don't need a wild game feed at the barbecue. So just pump the brakes and bring a dish to pass. So my first dish is a watermelon salad.
Oh, what? That sounds nice.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever heard of that before.
What?
A watermelon salad?
What? Where have you been?
Yeah.
Well, clearly not.
Obviously, been in Illinois a lot. So watermelon salad, very easy. You cube up a fresh watermelon. I usually juice one or two limes, depending on how big of a salad I'm making, over the watermelon. I add feta cheese and mint leaves. Sometimes I get crazy and I will add cilantro in it.
I never had it with cilantro.
And cucumbers.
I have.
So very, very easy. I mean,
good. My sister makes like the same thing.
Yeah, the watermelon feta thing is pretty popular. But over the years, I've played with it and
pick me.
What's wrong, Danielle? What do you got?
I feel like this should be a little sidebar situation because all the recipes I should pair with alcohol.
Danielle wants to spike the watermelon first. Yes. I can tell. She wants to spike the watermelon.
Okay, so if you'd like Danielle's version, get your pineapple or your watermelon drunk.
Yes, I go to
I'm thinking the pineapple.
Oh my gosh, that is
okay,
so funny.
Gosh, Danielle.
Yes, get that your watermelon so drunk first.
Yes.
And you have your mint leaves.
Yes, so you could do like
a mojito
you could
situation.
Do a mojito watermelon salad.
Yes
you could. Yeah, so
you're
mine
welcome.
Didn't have booze in it. Just want everybody to know that. I'm not a huge drinker, so I did not put booze in mine. My second recipe, gosh, Danielle, you make me laugh, is my buffalo chicken dip, but I use wild game.
Oh.
So when I take it to a barbecue, you guys have seen me roll up with my own pans and such.
Yes.
I do that with this dip.
She brings a commercial kitchen with her when she shows up.
You're not joking. Joel is 100% serious. Yes.
So you can, in the winter, I've made this for parties just in a crock pot. Start it in the morning, let it cook all afternoon. But for summer barbecues, because there's always a grill or a Blackstone going, I take my cast iron pan. I will pre-shred some wild game. So anything is good in this. And you can, of course, use chicken. The original recipe is with chicken, right? We've all had buffalo chicken dip. But I really like it with pheasant or goose or even shredded venison. Ooh. So you kind of get that more like meaty, like red meat
hearty
flavor in it. Yeah.
Could you combine that recipe with Joel's recipe on the spit?
Well, Danielle, I don't know how you're going to shred meat.
You could shave it off.
Yeah, but you could.
What you do with your stuff?
You could. Yes. So this is very easy. I do about a block of cream cheese, full fat cream cheese. Don't use the reduced fat. Some really good Wisconsin sharp cheddar cheese. And then I also put blue cheese in it. And then I do a little bit of sour cream. Again, you can, like I always say, measure with your heart. And then I use right wing sauce. So shout out to Provider and Joel Clayfish for making right wing sauce.
Oh, thank you.
Or you can use what is it even called? The buffalo sauce. I don't know what the popular ones are. Frank's or Sweet Baby Ray's. They have a good
Sweet
one.
Sweet Baby Ray's. Mm.
Okay. Yeah. So you can use that. You throw it on the pan and you let it all melt and it is delicious.
Wow, that sounds good.
Serve it with celery, some more blue cheese, some veggies, some warm pitas. It's a good time.
And now I am extremely hungry. Check out our Facebook. You can see those recipes. Listen to the show. If you miss it, check out Spotify and all the other places you can hear it. For George Ermert, Danielle Fairman, Chef Ellie Lawton, I'm Joel Clayfish. We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco.
Is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Federal regulators repeatedly granted appeals to remove Central Texas's Camp Mystic's buildings from their 100-year flood map as the camp expanded in a dangerous floodplain years before this month's deadly disaster. That from an Associated Press review. Today's latest tariff numbers, President Trump threatening 35% on Canada, 30% on Mexico and the European Union, all by August 1st. ABC's Olivia Rubin.
Their response from the EU and Mexico has been swift. Right after President Trump posted those letters, we now have responses from both the EU saying that this is going to hurt workers both here and in Europe. And they said that they are preparing a proportional response.
Mandatory evacuation orders as a wildfire threatens the Grand Canyon, prompting the closure of the park's north rim. Ford issued more recalls in the first half of this year than the next five car manufacturers combined, say federal regulators. This is ABC News.